Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, as we come to this time to once again look at the greatest personality in all the Christmas story, God, I pray that we would be reminded today that God, you stepped out of heaven's glory. You robed yourself in human flesh to come and dwell among us, to experience things that we experience, yet without sin, to take our place on a rugged cross, to shed your blood to cover sin, and to rise victoriously over death, hell, and the grave, to give us a living hope and a living risen Christ. Father, today as we celebrate this Christmas season of the year, Father, may Christmas and Easter be lived out in our lives 365 days out of the year. Father, speak to our hearts this morning, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 25, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. For the last several weeks, we've been looking at the characters of Christmas, some of the personalities of Christmas, and of course, we did not get to all of those, but you will know that the wise men, the shepherds, the angels, Mary and Joseph, all are a great part of the Christmas story, and we realize that these personalities all focus to that little child that was born in a manger. The Bible tells us that the baby's name was to be Jesus. Now, the naming of a child is always an important occasion, whether it was 2,000 years ago or even in our time. But in biblical days, the giving of the name was an important matter. Many times, there was meaning attached to that child's name. Not only was it significant, but it was also historical and spiritual as well. It's certainly true in the naming of the baby in the manger whose name was given Jesus. The name is given there by an angel, for the name had been brought to earth from heaven, and God himself gave the name to the baby. Don't you think it's interesting that God himself gave God himself the name Jesus when he came to earth? There are many titles. There are many names that are given to the Son of God in the Bible. Someone has estimated that there are over 700 titles and names for Jesus that can be found in the pages of Scripture. And all the names that are used of the Lord in the Bible, one of the most important used is the name Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. So the central figure of the Christmas story and the Christmas message that gives meaning to you and to me, gives purpose to you and to me in life, is that the name of Jesus is the reason for this season. The name of Jesus. Three things about the name of Jesus this morning. First of all, the name of Jesus, it's a simple name. It was commonly used during the days of the Bible. It was a common name used also in Latin American cultures. It's a simple name. He worked among common, ordinary people. Simple men like the shepherds came when Jesus was born. Simple men like the fishermen became his apostles and his disciples that followed him. Simple people came and were drawn to this man called Jesus. The outcast of society were drawn to this baby named Jesus, those shepherds among many other people throughout those days. They came to him, and as they came to him and he changed their lives, they were never the same again. Let me tell you, don't let the simplicity of the name Jesus keep you from understanding that there's majesty in the name of Jesus. There's mystery in the simple name as well. You see, only the Heavenly Father understood the full impact and the meaning of the birth of this baby. Only God the Father could give a name which would correctly convey what Jesus had come into the world to do. You might ask the question, why did Jesus come? The answer to that is very simple. Jesus came to die. Jesus came to die. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." You see, the name of Jesus, who Jesus is, where Jesus came from, why Jesus came, and what Jesus came to do. Jesus is a majestic name. Love came down at Christmas. God sent Jesus into the world to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. God sent Jesus in the world because we couldn't in and of ourselves go to heaven someday. So God brought heaven down to the earth, so that you and I might be reconciled to a holy God and someday be able to live with him for all eternity. So there's majesty in that simple name. There's mystery in that simple name. Verse 23 tells us that a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That is quoted from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 14. We read, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Jesus Christ is the only person who ever lived before he was born and decided to be born. This is an impossibility from the standpoint of human perspective. We're dealing here with biological impossibility. You see, it's not possible for a person to be born by means of a virgin birth. You see, it's absolutely essential that Jesus be born of a virgin birth. You see, if Jesus had not been born of the virgin birth, that would mean that Jesus had an earthly father. And if Jesus had an earthly father, that would mean that Jesus was a sinner. And if Jesus was a sinner, that would mean that Jesus could not be God. And if Jesus was not God, that means that you and I could never be saved from our sins. So the Bible says when Jesus was born, he was born in a miraculous way. It was God's solution to how he could bring the Savior into this world, qualify him to be the Savior of the world, that he might not be tainted with human sin. Think about that for just a minute this morning. The great I am, the great creator of the universe, the God who molded the stars, who put them in their sockets and lights them up in the night skies, the God who created this massive, unimaginable universe that you and I live in, confined himself to a single cell and was born of a virgin named Mary. You see, the simple name of Jesus is filled with majesty. The simple name of Jesus is filled with mystery. But secondly, this morning, not only is it a simple name, but it's a significant name. When you and I use the name of Jesus, we attach the meaning and the understanding we have from what we know that the Bible says and the information that we have received throughout the years. Keep in mind that in that Jewish culture of that day, when the name Jesus was used, they attached all of their understanding from their culture. Jesus was a name It was a very important name in national pride. It was a name that was celebrated among the Jewish people because of its Old Testament uses. In fact, there were two great people in the Old Testament who were named Jesus. The name Joshua is the Old Testament name for the New Testament Jesus. Joshua, Jehovah is salvation. It was Joshua in the Old Testament that took the children of Israel into the promised land, not Moses. Moses led them out of Egyptian bondage. He led them up to the promised land, but God had someone else that would lead them into the promised land. And so Moses represented the law. He had received the Ten Commandments on those two tablets of stone there on Mount Sinai. So Moses represented the law. But notice what John in the New Testament, in chapter 1, verse 17, what John said about the law. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. You see, Moses represented the law. Joshua in the Old Testament represented grace. And what the law could not do, grace does. You see, the law could not merit salvation. The law reminds us that we're sinners. The law points to our need for this Savior who lights the way. In fact, the Bible says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What the law could not do, Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, notice it says God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. That reminds us that you and I were not saved by good works. We're not saved by good deeds. Good deeds and good works are important. They are evidence that we have a living faith that is in living action. But I want you to know, works and deeds in and of themselves will not save. Only the grace of God, his shed blood. But let me tell you, there was another name of Joshua or Jesus in the Old Testament. But there was another name mentioned in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. This was about a priest. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Did you realize this morning, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, did you realize that Satan is there accusing the brethren? Let me tell you, I'm grateful that we have a great mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know he has pled our case and he pleads our case. It reminds me that when Jesus came into the world, to be a high priest. In fact, one of the beliefs of a Baptist, that we as Southern Baptists, we believe in, that Jesus is the great high priest. A priest is somebody that represents mankind to God. He's to be a go-between men and God. And when God sent his son Jesus, Jesus became mine and your high priest. When those wise men came and they brought those gifts of myrrh and gold and frankincense, incense was what the priest would use to burn, to give forth the fragrance, and a priest would go into the presence of God and represent us. You see, the significance of Christmas is this, that we have a brand new high priest. His name is significant. His name is Jesus. You see, I'm not your priest. You see, you don't have to come up here to the church and sit in a little confessional booth and tell me your sins. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, he's our great high priest. You and I are to go to him. He's the one we go to for forgiveness of our sins. And I'm grateful this morning that the good news is that you and I have a great high priest, and he is at the right hand of God in heaven, and He is the mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is mine, and he's your representative in heaven. Jesus, the great high priest, came to this world, and he understands us. You know, sometimes we understand, God, do you even know what I'm dealing with? God, do you understand what I'm struggling with? God, do you really care for me? Let me tell you, yes, he cares. Yes, he understands. Yes, he came to this world to dwell among us, to experience pain and suffering and sadness and grief and loneliness. Jesus understands where you and I are today. Our great high priest, he knows all about us. He knows what's good for us. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. Jesus is our perfect high priest. There is significance in the name of Jesus. Call him Jesus, a simple name. Call him Jesus, a significant name. But lastly, this morning, there's something else about his name. It's a saving name. There was another Christmas personality that we will not get around to this Christmas to talk about, but let me just brief you on it for a second. His name was Simeon. He was a man who was in the temple when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus in for the purification ceremonies. The Lord had revealed to Simeon that he would see the Messiah before he died. When Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to the temple for those purification rites, Simeon held Jesus in his hand. And let me tell you, I believe that God whispered, "This is the one." Can you only imagine down through the years, as Simeon being there in the priesthood, being there in the temple, that every baby that was brought to him for purification rites, can you only imagine year after year, after year, as they would bring those little babies to Simeon, Simeon would wonder in his heart, is this the one? Is this the one that God has said to me that I will see the Messiah before I die? If you can only imagine, the Bible says that Simeon took Jesus in his arms, and God revealed to Simeon that this is the one. And Simeon then said, "Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. By the way, let me tell you, you're not ready to die until you've seen Jesus. Did you know that? You're not ready to die until you've met Jesus in a personal way. You see, be sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And that rock is Jesus. He's the one. I love to hear Sandy Patty and Larnell Harris. They have sung many times through the years, "I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I've just seen Jesus." Let me ask you a question this morning. Have you seen Jesus? Paul says Christ Jesus came into this world, into the world to save sinners. Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." Notice in verse 21, it says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Let me tell you, the root of man's problem this morning is sin. The problem all over the world, with all of the upheavals that are going on, with all of the war drums that beat from time to time. Let me tell you, it's all because of sin that came into this world. Romans chapter 3, 23, Paul was writing to the Roman church and said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Let me tell you, there's no other name but the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, Herod hated the Lord Jesus. Herod wanted to kill Jesus. The religious leaders hated Jesus, and they wanted to get rid of him. And you follow and go all the way to the cross. And on that day, before the crucifixion, as that crowd would holler out and sing out, "Crown him with many crowns," when he first rode into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday would be the same crowd that many of them would holler on Friday, "Crucify him, crucify him." Let me tell you, they spat on him, they blasphemed him, they made fun of him, and over the cross they put, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." The world can hiss, the world can be cynical, the world can scoff and make fun of Jesus, they can ignore him, his name, but the name is still there, and it reminds you and me this morning that this world is lost. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin, but the light of the world that came at Christmas time, the light of the world is Jesus. We desperately need Jesus. Christmas, more than any other time of the year, ought to convince you and me that we need a Savior. I want you to think about all of the materialism in the world today, the drunkenness, the unfaithfulness, and all of the stuff that goes on during not only throughout the year, but during the many parties that are thrown. Let me tell you, man is a sinner and man needs a Savior. And the good news is, this morning, Jesus came. Jesus died for the sins that you and I owed, but we could not pay that sin debt. Let me tell you, down through the ages, many historians, many great people have accomplished much. You see, an Alexander the Great can create an empire, but there's only one that can save, and his name is Jesus. A Napoleon can change the course of world history, but there's only one name that can save, and his name is Jesus. A Newton can bring about a scientific intellectual revolution, but there's only one name that can save, and that's Jesus. A Thomas Edison can create a world of conveniences for you and me, but there's only one that can save, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible very plainly says that whosoever, put your name in there, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus? Pilate said, "What shall I do then with Jesus?" You see, that's the great question here this morning at Christmas time. It's a personal question. It's a pressing question. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow will bring forth." Someone was sharing with me this morning, one of their golfing buddies went in for a surgery. He died. Let me tell you, life is uncertain. Death is sure. Let me tell you, it's a personal question this morning. Do you know Jesus? You see, it's a personal question for each person. It's a pressing question. Time will one of these days be no more for you and for me as our time ticks out on this organ called the heart. But it's a pertinent question. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you know this man called Jesus? Don't go away without Jesus. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, this morning as we've listened to Christmas music, as we listened to the Christmas story, God, we realize that time, one of these days, will be no more. Chronos time will be no more as we understand time. You created time for us, but time means nothing to you. For 1,000 years are but as yesterday, and yesterday's as 1,000 years. Oh God, if there's someone here today that's never reached out through faith and received your wonderful gift of grace, it's so simple to do. Jesus loved you so much that he was willing to come from heaven's glory if you had been the only person on the earth in order to bring you to a place to be with him for all eternity. It's so simple. It's a little Cambry reached out and said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, you died and shed your blood to cover my sins. Forgive me, Jesus, of my wrong and come into my heart. No wonder the Bible says it's so simple that a child can understand it. If you're here this morning and you've never prayed this prayer, Lord Jesus, I know you came. I know you died on a cross and shed blood to cover sin. I know that you rose from the grave and ascended back to heaven 40 days later, and I know that you're coming again one of these days. Lord, I believe all of that. I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. So I come to you today asking you, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart, come into my life, and be the Lord of my life. The Bible says when we ask him into our heart, the Bible says he saves us. The Holy Spirit, God, Jesus comes to live within our heart and life through the Holy Spirit. God, I pray if there's someone listening through the internet that will pick up on this service this week or today or the radio station. Oh God, I pray, Holy Spirit of the living God, that you would move within their heart and life. This is not my invitation. This is your invitation. I just was your paper boy this morning. I threw the message. You call me to proclaim. The invitation's yours. Holy Spirit, if someone needs to come this morning, speak to their heart, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.